Hello, everybody. Andre Kachaturian of the Armenian Sports News Podcast here with Jason Taktajian. And it's been quiet for a while, but we are back with another great episode. We are recording here on Wednesday, May 14. And, you know, it has been slow, but things are going to be heating up this month and in June with the weather. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's definitely, like you said, it's heating up with the weather. We got a lot of sports that are coming up that, you know, are on our calendar. And it's kind of, like you said, that lull period where we're just kind of waiting for things to happen that they've already been, you know, announced. But we do have some big news that have dropped. And before we get into it, I do want to give a little bit of a special shout out to Armenia Basketball, who hooked it up with the hoodie. Even though it's hot outside, I'm still enjoying the hoodie and the weather, wearing it inside. I wanted to also show this. We got an Armenian basketball jersey with my last name on it. Number 24, the blue as well. Blue is my favorite color. Also, Chelsea fans, so they understood the assignment there. And also, a dark blue Armenian basketball shirt. Obviously, Armenian basketball is coming to Fresno in about a month. And, you know, we got a lot more time to come before we talk about that. But just wanted to give a shout out to those guys. And, you know, hopefully everything works well. And you'll hear me on the call for that game, too.
Very, very beautiful, Jason. I'm very jealous they didn't send me one. And I might need to have a talk with Armenia Basketball.
It's all good. I think they'll take care of you too.
Brimming with envy right now. And it's making me very sad. Now, the number 24, was that a number you requested because of Kobe? Or is it just like, you know, last year was 2024 and that was the year Armenia Basketball came back? And,
you know, that's a good question.
Well,
Armenia
Basketball didn't really come back in 2024. They came back into, I think it was 20.
Yeah, they didn't come back 2024 actually, but that's a good question because I don't think I actually asked for 24. I think whoever hooked it up, Mason is his name. He ended up putting my last name on the back of the jersey and customizing it and saying that, oh, we're going to take care of you. I told him, I'm like, don't worry about it. And then he was like, nah, we'll take care of you. So I'm actually glad that they picked 24. They picked the blue jersey as well. So you know what? Shoot, I'll take it. And thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I hope everybody goes to the games.
Armenia versus Costa Rica, June 6th and 8th in Fresno and La Crescenta, Crescenta Valley High School, my alma mater. We will be watching, Jason, and we're excited to hear you on the call. But moving forward, there's a lot of other competitions coming up in May. The Heritage Cup Lacrosse will be taking in Weston, Massachusetts, starting on Friday, May 23rd. They'll be going throughout Memorial Weekend. I'll be here in Boston. I will be there. I'll be covering that. I already spoke with Johnny Muradian, head coach and the president of Armenia Lacrosse. And he is excited to, you know, be in this tournament. And also the women's team will be participating in their first tournament as well, the same weekend at the Heritage Cup. And they actually will be having a private tour of the Armenian American Museum before the tournament on Thursday, May 22nd. And they'll be going to the Akumb, which is an Armenian hall, and they'll be honored there and be given a tour and everything. And I'll be there with them, and we'll be sending out some content. So it'll be really nice to see the Armenian lacrosse team in Boston. So, you know, I'm jealous
That's
of you,
so
Jason.
Cool.
You're on the West Coast. You guys get all the cool stuff, but I'm excited for Boston to be hosting something cool. For once.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm excited for you. There's no jealousy here. Obviously, we're all in joke. But no, that's awesome. That's really awesome to see that Armenian lacrosse is really, you know, kind of blossoming to that. And all those events that you just said, like, to me, it's just like good news after good news. And hearing that they're kind of embracing these teams as well to see where the sport of lacrosse can go. And there is no better place than the East Coast of the United States for that sport to blossom in.
Well, staying on the East Coast, right after that tournament ends on May 27th, the Dream Nations Cup begins, which the Armenian Heritage hockey team will be competing in. This is not the same hockey team that competed at the IIHF World Championship last month. This is more of a diasporan team, but they kind of helped be the impetus for the relaunch of the IIHF team. So Armenia HC, we will be keeping track of them as well in it's in New Jersey. We'll call it New York.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's like the,
you know,
the Giants and the Jets both play in New Jersey, but they're the New York Giants.
Exactly. You know, you do say we have to preface it by saying, you know, it's the heritage team and it's not the official Armenian hockey team. But I have to admit that they have done a lot of work to make the actual Armenian hockey team a reality and what it is today. And I hope Sev Ohanian one day is listening and it takes this as an idea, because this could definitely be adapted into some sort of movie of like the birth of a small nation's hockey team by its diaspora, basically.
Absolutely. It's you know, Hrag Seyan from Montreal. He's the one who kind of started this team, and it's been incredible to see. You know, and he doesn't get enough credit. He really does not. This entire team does not get enough credit because they were the ones who first came out. They competed in the LATAM Cup. They won. They succeeded, and they were in the Dream Nations last year, along with the LATAM Cup again, and they kind of helped move this like an avalanche. And now Armenia has a national hockey team and was able to host the tournament as well. And honestly, if you're asking me, if the year ended today, the greatest moment of Armenian sports this year was that
Is
goal
the hockey.
against Uzbekistan. That was that shootout game. That was unbelievable. I haven't seen anything like it. So it'd be nice to see
100%.
the hockey team back in action.
Absolutely. I was just going to mention to you, like, it's one of the core memories that I have of being with Armenian Sports News is, you know, watching the first LATAM Cup when we were covering it on my couch in Sioux City, Iowa, when it was like dark outside, and like just following this hockey team, like just going to town on these other countries. And it was just amazing to see.
Yeah, it is amazing to see. Hockey's a great sport. Armenia is starting to succeed more and more in team sports, and we love to see it. I mean, we started this show. We've already talked about three national teams and the start of the women's national team in lacrosse. Again, we're gonna get more dive more in depth next week on these tournaments and how Armenia will be competing in them. However, the big news and what we're going to be talking about the rest of the show is related to big news in the UFC. So Dana White finally came out, announced a long-awaited headliner fight for UFC 317 in Las Vegas, International Fight Week, the T-Mobile Arena annual event in July. You know, it's supposed to be the marquee UFC event, so you want to put like a big headliner event there. And some were hoping that Armand Tsarukyan would be on that card, but he is still serving his punishment, I guess, for backing out of UFC 311 a few days before the actual fight. And other things happened where Islam Makhachev, the current champion, decided to vacate his belt and move up a weight class to fight Jack Della
Drift
Maddalena, who recently won the welterweight championship this past weekend. In Montreal, UFC 315. So that's probably going to be that date hasn't been scheduled. So all of a sudden, though, there is a vacancy in the lightweight for the lightweight belt. And so who's going to be fighting for it? Now, maybe this increases Armand's chance to fight for the lightweight belt, correct? Because now instead of just having one contender fighting for the belt against Makhachev, you have two contenders fighting for the belt for the vacant belt. But
logic.
instead of announcing Armand's name, Dana White announced the names of Ilya Topuria and Charles Oliveira, who's the so Topuria was the remember,
Yeah, Topuria, yeah.
Topuria is the wrong accent. Topuria is the former UFC featherweight champion. He vacated his belt so he could move up and fight in the lightweight division. And he will be facing Oliveira, who's the number two ranked lightweight contender. And obviously, you look at the rankings and you see that Tsarukyan is ahead of Oliveira in the rankings. Why didn't he get this title fight? And it's a fair question. It looks like Dana White is sticking to his word of making Tsarukyan fight once before fighting for the belt.
Yeah, and say sticking to his word pretty much when we got him to talk to us at 311, that he's just not getting a title shot next. Whatever happens, he's just not getting a title shot next. Even after, you know, like you said, the Makhachev vacating the belt, going up to welterweight. Now we've got a guy like Topuria, who's what, the hottest athlete right now, like just on fire when it comes to UFC, coming in and fighting a guy like Oliveira, who has a lot of, you know, Street credibility, a lot, has a lot of name recognition, but again, coming off of a loss against Armand in that fight, that should have been the fight to determine who gets that next opportunity. Armand gets injured, and we see just the tone shift in the entire UFC. We see Armand now, preparing for a second combat match
Grappling.
outside of the UFC. Yeah, a grappling match. Just that's going to happen towards the end of May, and no real word on Armand fighting next. We had There was chatter about him fighting the number seven guy, Matheus Gamrot, which would have been a good fight, based off of I think a couple of podcasts ago we did discuss that, as far as it could be a good and an entertaining fight for Armand to take, just because of the history that they have. But he said himself that he doesn't want to give somebody that opportunity, because when he was in Gamrot's position, no one gave him that opportunity. I
Well,
understand that
let's
logic,
talk
but
about that
we can talk.
because
I want to dive into that, and I want to hear, like, first what you think about Armand's decision, because I do remember you were pretty adamant about, like, being the in that position of, Armand has, house money to be able to step back and be like, I want that opportunity that I deserve.
I want to talk about that because he turned down Gamrot, but before, when I was reading the actual quote that Sarukyan was saying, he hadn't really named Gamrot yet. He said, "I was insulted because the person they offered me was on a losing streak. Why give me someone who's number 10?" He didn't, Gamrot's number 7. He's not number 10, first of all. Let's make that clear. I was thinking that he was talking about Michael Chandler the whole time. I did not think he was talking about Gamrot. Michael Chandler is number 12. He's lost four of his last five fights. And sorry, five of his last six fights. And but he's an exciting fighter.
Yeah,
He's a
he's a
name.
name, yeah.
And honestly, he would be a safer fight for Tsarukyan, I think, than Gamrot, who he's already lost to. Controversial. It was definitely controversial, but he's lost to him. And I think Chandler would have. I think you need to take the fight. I don't know, Jason. He said he would have rather had Dan Hooker, who's on a three-fight winning streak. He was so insulted by the Gamrot offer, but Gamrot beat him already, is giving him a chance to redeem himself and beat him. I think, maybe there's a little bit of fear there. I don't know. What do you think?
You're from Armand?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be a mixture of fear and, like, arrogance of, like, again, like, oh, I still was, like, what, a day or two away from the title fight. And maybe in his mind, his logic is, I did whatever I could to avoid the injury. It happens in sports, so I deserve to be, in that mix still, because, it's not like I lost a fight per se. I think that I don't know if Armand's scared. I just don't know if he cares as much.
It's a very you're talking about a fight with Gamrot that most likely you're gonna have to go to the judges because most
To
of
go to the
Gamrot's
yeah, you have to
fights,
get it go to the distance pretty much.
yes,
That's
Gamrot's
right.
never been knocked out before. His three losses have been decisions. Two of those three were split decisions, which means they were very close and they were both fight of the nights. One of those losses against Dan Hooker, his last fight in August 2024, was a fight of the night. He lost in a split decision. In fact, he beat Armand. The unanimous decision, but that was also controversial and was also fight of the night. So in Armand's head,
Yeah.
he's thinking, this is probably gonna be decided by the judges. Should his fate be decided by the judges once more? That I can understand that he wouldn't want to take a fight like that. I don't think it has to do with the name. I think it has more to do with the fact that you're fighting against someone, doesn't get knocked out. And you're going to have to rely on the judges to see if you are deserving of a title shot then. Whereas against someone like Michael Chandler, that guy, all of his fights are like electric and they feature knockouts and things like that. So,
Yeah, I think also too
in
what you were
Armand's
talking
head, he's
about.
saying, why should I
Yeah.
let the judges decide whether I deserve a title shot or not? That's not fair in his eyes. And I, to an extent, agree with that.
Yeah. Then I guess I understand your question of, is Armand scared? Because you could make that argument of, he doesn't want his next fight, if it's not going to be a title fight, to go to the judges, because that could also just take the sting out of maybe a momentum to go back into a title fight.
I exactly. So, yes, if he loses to Gamrot, even if it's a razor thin split decision, he's not going to get a title fight after that. So, I like what Armand is doing. I like that he said no. I like that he's not taking a money fight against Chandler. I like that he's sitting there and just chilling. Why should he book a fight? He's 28 years old. Everybody in the division is much older than he is. Oliveira's older. There's a really good chance, in my opinion, if Topuria wins or Oliveira wins, it doesn't matter who wins, Armand's getting that next fight. People talking about
That's
Gaethje. Gaethje's also, he's no spring chicken either. He's 36 years old. Max Holloway, he's 33 years old. He's
well,
already been a champion.
he's fighting Poirier next too, so
And that's Poirier's retirement fight. So Poirier is going to be out of the picture soon as well.
yeah.
So, Holloway, also keep in mind, most of his career he's fought, featherweight. So now he's moving up to lightweight. It's a new division for him. Granted, he beat Gaethje for the BMF belt, but lightweight's it's a new division for him. It's higher up for Holloway. I'm not saying he can't go out and win the belt again. He's one of the greatest of all time. But again, he's 5 years older than Tsarukyan.
Yeah, a guy like Sarokin will just take him down on the mat. Like when it comes to the ground game, for example, I know like Holloway would rely on his striking, but God forbid Armand gets a hold of his waist, like that's the fight right there.
Right. And so I'm with Armand. I'm okay with him taking his time. If a opportunity comes and he wants to fight to stay sharp, sure. Yeah, I mean that's why he's doing these grappling matches, right? To stay sharp. I don't think it's the same as a UFC fight, but it's something. And if he sees that they're not giving him the title shot, Paddy Pimblett's there. He's going 9 in a row. That will be
That's a big fight.
that's a big that, that'll be a they already kind of have a feud. They'll have a little bit of a bickering going on lately. That could be like a really big money fight, but
Oh yeah. We might get some more, personality out of Armand in the lead up to that fight if he gets that fight against Paddy, because he's gonna have to retaliate.
of
You know,
course,
Paddy's gonna come with the fire.
and with Paddy, we're talking about a guy who he's fought 26 times in his career. Only 8 of them have gone to decision. And he hasn't been knocked out before, but he has been submitted. So like it's you're gonna get a banger with that fight. Whereas with Gamrot, it's probably gonna go to the judges. So if I'm Tsarukyan and if I'm gonna fight this year, I maybe try to convince Dana to get him a Paddy Pimblett fight soon, and we'll see what
Yeah.
happens then. But
And then maybe he shows up to International Fight Week and he's in the crowd, and like I'm just trying to imagine, like maybe he's gonna be there for that Topuria and Oliveira fight and call him out, or maybe they call him out or whatever that may be, where Armand's like, hey, I still need a title fight, but now it's not against Islam. Like you said, it'll be whoever the winner is, unless you could see even Dana pulling a 180 on him and being like, now you need to fight the loser and the winner gets the title fight. I
Well,
hope that doesn't happen.
here's
It
the
would be a
thing.
little
Here's
unfair.
what I think is going to happen. I think if Armand isn't scheduled to fight on 317, which it sounds like he probably won't be, the co-main event is also a title fight, the flyweight championship
Yeah.
between Pantoja and Kai Kara France.
Should be a good fight.
And my guess is Tsarukyan is the backup for that fight in case Oliveira or Topuria miss weight, then he will step in and fight that day. Why not? Because what are they going to be looking for? They're going to be looking for a replacement last minute. And if Tsarukyan is there saving the card,
That's kind of poetic, wouldn't that
what a
be?
poetic!
Wouldn't
How would exactly? So he ruined the card in
that
311,
do
but he comes
we
back
need
and
to
saves the card in 317.
go? Do we need to go just in case?
Well, that's why you're on the West Coast. It'll be
There
nice
we
to have you
go.
there. But
There we go.
we don't know if that will happen. That's just the prediction. I mean, I think it's a smart it'll be smart for the UFC to kind of have Tsarukyan as the backup in case something does happen to Ilya or Charles. And in that sense, Armand then won't have to wait. He'll be thrown into the title shot against two guys I think he can beat. He's already beat one of them. So I like it. I think this works out well for Armand. He has all the cards. He's still the number one contender. Wait, Wait, see how Patty does. Maybe he moves up the rankings. He goes into the top five. He's more of a suitable match for you at by the end of the year. And then because he said he's open to fighting one more time, but why be completely open to it when you can, as a backup, sneak into the title fight? That's all I'm saying.
I like it, and like, and just Hollywood couldn't write a better script. And obviously, we're not trying to wish ill on anyone, but if Topuria or if Oliveira ends up getting injured, yeah, it makes total sense for Armand to come in, redeem himself, and go on and win the title, and then just go on and, I don't know, make good with Dana White in a way. Like, you could tell that
Exactly.
he was pissed that evening because it just wasn't what he was hoping for, having two guys from that region duking it out instead of a guy like Moicano in LA would have been a perfect way to start the year for UFC. And you know, from a business standpoint, he was probably pissed off at that.
For sure. So, I mean, there's nothing else we can do is but wait. When looking at the rest of the rankings for the lightweight division, and you know, obviously, Sarukyan is number one. He hasn't been scheduled. Makhachev is moving up. Gaethje hasn't been scheduled to fight. So maybe that's another option for Arman, is Justin Gaethje.
Yeah,
But
I mean
that's
he's definitely an option. There's a lot of good fighters, but you know, back to what you've been pointing out for the past month already is the lightweight division is old. It is old.
yes, it is. It is very old. And 4 and 5 will be fighting against each other in August. Sorry, in July in New Orleans, Holloway and Poirier. Hooker is not scheduled to fight anyone, and that's who Armand wanted. Didn't get him. He got Gamrot instead. Gamrot, in fact, got scheduled to fight in an Apex match on May 31st. He'll be fighting in 2 weeks against a Slovakian guy, Ludovit Klein. He is a very new face in the UFC. No, he's not a new face. He's been around since 2020, but and he has a pretty decent record too. 6-7-2-1. So he's, you know, a rising name. And if he beats Gamrot, you have to put him in the top 15 at that point. So maybe that's an option. Klein versus Tsarukyan.
Maybe.
So he's waiting on that. You know, if Klein has a fantastic win against Gamrot and they put him in the, you know, top eight, and at that point Klein will be on a five, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 match unbeaten streak. There's a draw in there as well. So,
Right.
you know, you have to put him in the top 10 at that point, and maybe Tarukyan's inclined to take someone like him, who he knows he can probably beat. But then again, he just said he doesn't want to give someone like that a shot at the number one contender, just like that.
Right. You know, something off topic I want to mention before I go back to talking about you know, Armenians and UFC, just something that c came to my mind. The UFC 317 card, I'm sure you noticed that Beneil Dariush is fighting Renato Moicano, which is the same fight that was supposed to happen at 311
Yes.
but didn't because of Armand being pulled out. So
Absolutely.
that's just something that was kind of nice, especially because of you know, Beneil and our coverage with him and his love for Khinyali.
Well, that's another option for a for Armand to serve as a backup as well. It's another lightweight fight in there. If that falls through, if one of those guys miss weight, why wouldn't Armand step in, win that fight, and then secure his shot against the lightweight champion, who
Yeah.
will whoever wins that championship fight? So if
Yeah,
I'm Armand,
exactly.
I'm preparing for to be a backup at UFC 317, no matter what. Why not? What do
I
you have to
agree.
lose? Be a backup. Maybe you get in there in one of those two fights, make a statement, and then you secure yourself a title shot. Then again, maybe in his mind, he's like, taking a fight on short notice will it might be tough, but is it really short notice if you're starting to prepare now, as if you're preparing for a fight? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. He's staying fresh, like you said, with these grappling matches. It doesn't look like he's unhealthy. It looks like he's gotten over his injury already. And I mean, the guy's in the prime of his life. So
So
at
what do
this
you think's
point, you
gonna
know,
happen? I
what
know
it.
we're running out of time here. Just predict what will happen, who will Armand fight, and you know, what do you think the landscape will be in the next 3 to 6 months in the lightweight division?
Shoot. I do hope Armand fights a UFC fight in the next 3 to 6 months. I'll just put it out there like that. But just because of the uncertainty that we've had since January, and now it's middle of May, I do hope that he gets into a fight in the next 3 to 6 months. I predict that he will fight at least once in the UFC. If it's anybody, just because of the way that the UFC's been treating Armand, which, a lot of people are saying it's unjust, and other people are saying, hey, that's the fight game. Maybe it's the Oliveira fight again. I think it's the Oliveira fight one more time. Just depends on what happens in this Topuria and Oliveira fight. Unless Oliveira becomes the champion, then Topuria ends up fighting Tarukyan, which would be insane. You got like, two Georgians basically
Yes.
duking it out. And it's not just anybody. Topuria's on fire. So we just really have to see, man. Like you said, I really hope that Armand takes it seriously and is a backup for International Fight Week. Because the other thing that really disappoints me, and I know it disappoints you too, is just that we don't have any Armenians on the card to begin with for International Fight Week. Guys like Isaac Dolgarian, we're still waiting to hear to see what's going to happen with him and who he's going to fight next. And just kind of keeping our fingers crossed to see more Armenian representation in a sport that we see other Armenians in other smaller promotions like Up Next Fighting or Tough Enough with more talent coming up. I don't know, just a little bit disheartening what we've seen so far as the lack of Armenians. At least we got guys like Edmund Shahbazyan who are winning fights right now, but we want to see more.
I think this is what's going to happen. My prediction. I think Dana White schedules Paddy Pimblett to fight Justin Gaethje. I think
Okay.
Paddy Pimblett beats Justin Gaethje. I think Armand serves as the backup for 317, but doesn't get summoned. And then I think for either 318 or 319, not 318. Sorry. At some point in the fall, so in the next 6 months, Pimblett and Tsarukyan will be scheduled to fight, and the winner of that will get the title shot against the winner of Oliveira and Topuria. That is my prediction,
All right.
and
I
I think
like
the
it.
winner of that fight will be Topuria.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know. That's going to be a tough one. I mean,
Oliveira and Topuria.
Oliveira is
It
so
got if
good. You're
Oliveira
talking.
gets him on the ground,
Yeah, but Oliveira is going to be bigger. He's a natural lightweight, whereas Topuria is coming up a weight class. Don't
That's
know.
true.
That's
That's
going to be a
true.
tough one.
That is true. If Oliveira ends up winning the title after all of this, that'd
Well, he's been
be
a champion
nice.
before, and I don't really think. I think it's really hard to become a champion again. So I don't know. Maybe he doesn't get there. Maybe this is the Topuria era. It's crazy. He started off in 2018. Topuria was in bantamweight fights. Now he's up in lightweight. So he's really going up. He's fought at bantamweight before, but not in the UFC, in Cage Warriors, which is a different promotion. But anyway.
I'm sure Armand and Mirab and Ilya's relationship will be totally fine after all of this.
Oh yes. Well, another thing, Topuria is also 28 years old, so he's young as well. So I know we'll see him, he and Armand fight at some point in our lives. And but I don't know. I don't know who's gonna win that fight. I will guess. I'll change my pick immediately and say Oliveira, but just because of his experience and he's just a bigger guy. But I wouldn't be surprised if he wins either. But I don't think it's going to matter. I think whoever wins will eventually face Armand, but Armand's going to have to go through Paddy Pimblett at some point. I think that fight just makes so much sense. Both of
Yeah.
them hate each other at this point. The trash talk's been great. That should serve as a 5-round headliner somewhere. I don't know what card, but maybe UFC 320, wherever that is.
Right. Yeah, and Paddy's like we've said before, he is the name in the lightweight that's like on the trajectory of like skyrocketing. So he's the man. He's the man to, kind of test and see, because shoot, wherever he goes, especially in the UK, people go crazy for Paddy. And
Yeah.
UFC has been meaning to get a star, and for Armand to be able to put him down and get onto that level, and all the trash talk that they've already had, let alone if they ever have a fight become official. Get your popcorn and shumashka ready.
UFC 319 in Chicago, August 16, 2025. That's the DDP versus Khamzat Chimaev championship fight. Have Armand and Paddy as the co-main. That card,
That'd be fun.
five round headliner. That'll be a banger. That'll be great in Chicago, great American city.
God, that'd be
That
nuts.
I don't know, or maybe they'll have Paddy go up against Gaethje that fight, because apparently Armand doesn't want to fight anybody who's not in the top six, and that includes Paddy. So, I don't know. Again,
Yeah, I guess to a certain point where Armand just needs to fight.
well,
If
again,
we get to that point.
that's where I disagree. He doesn't have to fight. We talk about how all these guys are older. Let them all age out and beat each other up. Have maybe if Gaethje and Paddy fight that in that card in August, then he fights the winner of that in like November or December, end of the year in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, if Patty wins that, he probably goes to top five.
Yeah, and then that I think makes the most sense, which is what my prediction was. Paddy will face Gaethje. I think Paddy beats Gaethje, and then Armand will face Paddy for the chance to for the chance for the belt. Yeah.
All right, cool. I like your prediction. And like I
So
said,
basically, what I'm
I hope.
saying is Armand won't fight till Christmas in December. Armand versus Paddy in Vegas in December, UFC 2323, whatever it's going to be. And then early next year, we'll have Armand or Paddy fight for the belt. Or he just serves as a backup and fights in July. That'll be great too. Anyway, we're
That'd be
running out of
great too.
time. We talked way too much about this. I don't want to talk about it again until we hear some more news, which unfortunately for the UFC, that's how it is. You talk and talk. You talk more than you watch in the UFC, you know? You talk about the UFC more than you watch it.
Yeah. Just ask Ariel Helwani.
All right, man. We will be in touch. Thank you for joining
All
us,
right.
ASM Podcast. We'll see you next week.